Welcome back to this week's episode of Toys on Tap. We have a fantastic artist on, Dead Boy, as he comes on and talks about Burgie, which is the cutest burger you've ever seen. If you want more Toys on Tap, you can follow us on socials at Toys on Tap. If you want to jump on and support the show in a free way, you can like, subscribe, rate, review wherever you get podcasts. And if you want even more Toys on Tap, you can jump on the Patreon, patreon.com/ToysOnTap. Nitty gritty episodes, all kinds of stuff going on there. We would love to have you, and thank you to all those that support. There is no nitty gritty episode this week, but we will be back next week, so don't miss out. Now let's get to this week's episode of Toys on Tap. Nice. We got it figured out. Zoom is finicky. I've been doing this for 3.5 years, and Zoom is finicky every time.
It's weird though. Like, I think this is the second time that I've ever had to really use Zoom, which is weird because I do a lot of virtual stuff for work, but they use a bunch of different programs for that, and Zoom is not one of them. So.
Yeah, Zoom just happened to be, once I learned how to use it during the pandemic, I just was like, oh, let's keep doing that. They have podcast ones, but they isolate. The reason that we never have switched to those because they isolate everyone's sound. And then I have to then push them all together and make it balance back out. Uninterested in that.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. But I'm pumped that you're on. Been a while coming. You've been on my list for a little bit to get you on. Toys on Tap. If you haven't listened, Toys on Tap is a podcast that interviews people like you. So I'm pumped that you're on.
Yeah, me too. Thank you. If you hear random screaming noises from outside this room, it's my daughter. She's trying to scare me.
That is every serial killer ever. Would say that, so that's a good
right. Hey, do you know that a great sign to tell if someone's a sociopath is if you yawn and they don't yawn back? Sociopath capable of yawning, so just keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, holy moly! Maybe I'll yawn halfway through and I'll just put a little.
I have lots of random useless knowledge like that.
but before we jump in and get started, please introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do.
Yeah, my name is Dead Boy. My real name is Jared Steffen, but I go by Dead Boy on Instagram, Dead Boy's Art Toys. So I've been doing, I'm trying to think how long it's been, designer toy stuff for probably, as far as making toys, for over like a year and a half, probably something like that. I also started getting into designer toys during the pandemic. Probably like a lot of people. And then that brought back kind of my love of art. I give at least some of that credit to my good friends and family, Plastic Pizza. Shout out to Jordan and Sarah. They really helped get me back into more of an art space. I went to school for that kind of stuff. And then I didn't do any of it for quite some time. Got back into doing it when I discovered toys. Designer toys, because I've always collected toys as well. But then I started making my own stuff, working with other artists to do collabs and stuff like that. So it's been an immense pleasure and a great journey. And I just got my first pressure pot because most of my stuff I've outsourced to somebody else because I didn't want to invest in the equipment and then dedicate like the space and stuff in the house to doing everything. But I kind of got in a situation where I needed to buy a pressure pot finally, which is great because that was really what was going to push me into doing it. And I've done some casting and stuff in the past, so now I'm actually making my own toys, and just pulled my first couple out of the pressure pot a few days ago, so I'm excited about that.
Heck yeah, pressure pot, that, like, whoever first did that, thank God they did that. I remember getting the first one and like jerry rigging it up, and I still have it. It's right next to me, and it's like unreal the amount of work that goes into it, but like how much it helps the toys.
Yeah. You know, I was very thankful that mine was mostly user ready, and my wife's father was graceful enough to donate a compressor.
Yeah.
And that was probably the biggest part of the expense. So I got away pretty easy on that one. And then when I got the compressor, or the pressure pot and the compressor, just happened to have the right fittings and everything on it. So it hooked right up and I got away pretty lucky on that, because normally I don't have that kind of luck. And then I also have to jerry rig some stuff and it ends up not looking great, sometimes not working great. So
yeah, I have to. So we're going to start at the name and then we're going to walk it back. Dead Boy. Yeah. Where does that come from? Also on Instagram, it's not spelled Dead Boy. Is that because someone else has that name?
I want to say probably. That's like one of those things. Okay. I picked up in high school a long time ago. Mm-hmm. As just like a stupid high school nickname. And then I just kind of used it ever since. And you know how like you go through, I don't know, so many iterations of like online names, like gamer tags, stuff like that. Like, and as somewhere along the line, probably when I signed up for Instagram, I couldn't use the DEDBOY spelling. So I had to go with D3DB0Y. So.
Okay.
But yeah, that's, I mean, you wouldn't think that there's more than one DEDBOY Dead Boy out there, but apparently
there's several as well. Jeez. Walk me back. Toys seem to be a huge part of your life now, which means they were probably a huge part of your life when you were a kid. Take me back to when you were a kid. What are the toys you had? Were you collecting? Did you have a lot of them? All that stuff.
Man, dude, you're going to have to stop me. Seriously. So just slap me in the head if I keep going.
We're here for it. But
I started, God, probably way back when I was a kid. Some of the first stuff I remember having are some of my brother's vintage Star Wars action figures. Mm-hmm. I was super obsessed with those to the point where my dad had a display case that he gave to me, like a large one that I built a scale size for the 3¾-inch figures, a scale size Sarlacc pit inside of it. So I could make a big display with all the figures and stuff in it with the Sarlacc pit. Obviously Return of the Jedi was my favorite.
Yeah.
So those He-Man and Masters of the Universe stuff was like huge for me when I was a kid. I had a lot of stuff, just like tons of stuff, dude. I was a spoiled rotten turd when I was a kid. I literally lived across the street from my grandma, and I would walk over there on the weekends, and we would go to town, which literally was going to town because we lived in the country. And that consisted of usually going to Wendy's. We'd go buy grandma's groceries. We'd go to Wendy's, where you would be lucky to get something cool, because back in the day, Wendy's didn't have the good toys. Mm-hmm. We'd go there, and then I'd get to go like probably to like Kmart, or believe it or not, I'm old enough, the Ben Franklin Five and Dime store in town.
And no idea what that is.
Yeah, that's back when, I mean, originally everything cost 5 or 10 cents. That's why they called them a Five and Dime. But Ben Franklin like kind of morphed into a craft store eventually, and then got, you know, beaten out by all the big craft stores that are around now. I remember buying like several Masters of the Universe toys there, and like all my Ninja Turtle stuff. Ninja Turtles was a huge one for me also back in the day, picking up tons of those at the local Kmart and stuff. So that's probably really where a lot of my collecting habits came from, was like when I was a kid there. And then when I was, I think probably when I was like 16 and got a job and had my own source of income, I started getting back into stuff again. And oddly enough, like just randomly picked it up with Dragon Ball Z stuff at the time. And I can't remember the company. I think it was Bandai had the stuff that was released over here, or there was another company that was doing the stuff over here. And then the Bandai Japanese stuff was like way sweeter. So I started buying a bunch of those like from overseas in the Japanese packaging and stuff, and had a ton of those. And then, I mean, just from that point forward, it's pretty much been a wrap. And you know, like toys, video games, like you name it, I probably obsessively buy it. And I go through phases where when I buy a bunch of one thing and I'm done collecting that piece of nostalgia, I'll move on to another thing and start collecting other stuff. So
at some point, you didn't have, it sounds like you didn't have the thing from when you were a kid where you like mass exodus, got rid of all your toys and all that stuff. Did you?
Dude, my mom sold my Ewok village in a garage sale and I was freaking devastated.
Sometimes like, mothers are so cool. And then sometimes they hear stories like that. Yeah.
Well, she did it, you know, and it was one of those, like, it wasn't just like, hey, we got to get rid of your stuff. I don't even remember the circumstances. The one thing that I remember now, this old in my life, is she did it when I wasn't around. And
of course,
that was the worst part.
Yeah.
But to be fair, I also have to get rid of some of my kids' stuff when she's not here because she's got way too much stuff. And that's mostly my fault.
Yeah. You get to relive the trauma when you get rid of her stuff. Yeah. And then, I mean, there's, you said it's a wrap, so that means you just kept going. When did art start to become something in your life? Like if toys kind of reawakened that at some point, art like spilled in.
Yeah. Art, has always kind of been a thing. I was always really into drawing when I was a kid. Like I was very good at it. And, that kind of led me into like in school, doing a lot of art stuff. And then I was so passionate about it that I was actually going to school. I ended up being, first I went, was going into criminal justice, which is super weird. But it makes sense because I'm like in a risk-based position now. But then I decided to go into teaching and my minor was going to be in art. So I was doing a lot of stuff in college with art. And then I got to a point where I actually live near Western Michigan University. So I was going there for like a year and I was trying to get into their teaching program and be like an art minor. And they didn't have enough room for actual art students to be like art majors and stuff. So they couldn't squeeze anybody else in to do like art minors and stuff. So that's kind of when I think it got kind of pushed to the back burner. So I blame them for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I never should have let it kind of fade away, but that's what kind of, I think, deprioritized it for me. And then it was kind of dormant for quite some time, honestly, because that would have been, probably about 20 years ago.
Oof, to have art go dormant in your life for 20 years. What is that? Like, how did you, if you began with art, that means like most of us, you needed some kind of creative outlet. So how did we like find that? What was your thing since art was gone?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've always been to a degree, it's gotten worse as I've gotten older, I've always been a little bit like OCD. So, some of what I will, like, what I do is I go really like focused on something and it happened to be like, for me creatively, it sounds weird, but, I think collecting toys was a big part of that because aesthetically, that's where I think my art background kind of played into toy collecting, like as far as what I was collecting, why I collected it, that kind of thing. And then, of course, I would go through, and I've been lucky enough to have like a toy room, and I'm about to expand that into our basement here at our current location. So it's going to be like a like an arcade. All my old video games and then my toy collection, because like ultimately what I'd like to do is I'd like to do things like have Plastic Pizza come over and do a show like a Pop Shop Live in the museum. Like I've always wanted to have an actual museum, but that's kind of like, I think my outlet was collecting. And then like having the luxury of the space that I've had to be able to then display stuff and arrange things and, you know, sometimes do like small dioramas and stuff like that if I feel like it, but creatively that's probably that. I was also really into music when I was younger, and that you know, it's kind of like not officially like as a hobby or anything like that that I was doing professionally, but music was always a nice outlet for me creatively too, as far as listening and discovering new stuff and stuff like that.
Yeah. Tell me about this collection. I if collecting has been this big of your life, I got to know what's in it. I got to know like the ins and outs, the grail pieces that are in there.
Oh, dude, what's in that?
Yeah. What's in that collection?
So much stuff. I can't even tell you like probably tiny bit of what's in it. What I will tell you though, and I'll kind of give you some more detail here in a second, but if you want to see what the current Toy Room setup looks like, if you search for, I don't know if it's under, it's either under Justice Curry or Justin Carey, because he just changed his name on Facebook so he can get his, to his real name so he can get verified. He did a video because he's like a huge toy collector and reseller. And he didn't really have anybody that he knew that was into like designer toys too much at all. And so he did a, like a walkthrough, a two-part walkthrough video of like the stuff that's not designer toys that I have, and then the stuff that is designer toys that I have. But this was like, I want to say like a couple years ago, maybe. So it's gotten way more out of control than it was at that point. So
to be able to
for the basement.
Yeah. And to be able to recognize the out of control nature, that's a great self-awareness. I mean, I've seen,
That's okay. It doesn't stop me from buying stuff though.
Yeah. So I've seen some of your collection by scrolling back on Instagram. So it's like piece by piece. I see some of them.
Yeah.
And what's cool is a lot of the pieces that I saw, some of those artists have been on. And so it's like, I've talked to some of them. They've been on the podcast. But tell me about this collection.
Yeah. So I've got a lot of, as far as the non-designer toy stuff, it's really the stuff I had when I was a kid from like the 80s and 90s, old stuff like that, like the He-Man stuff I was talking about earlier, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Designer toys, I've got most of my cases are from IKEA. Not Detolf. They're like the bigger, I think they're called like Bilsbo or Millsboro or something like that.
Something Swedish.
Yeah. Something that I can't pronounce correctly. Absolutely. But I've got, I think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of those cases.
Ooh, 6 is a lot.
I've got 2 curio cabinets that I had to buy in the interim because like during the pandemic, IKEA didn't have any, like anything. And I was like, dude, I got to have some cases to put some stuff in. So I've got those. And then, I've got just a bunch of stuff that has now started to accumulate that I can't put in display cases. Like mostly I would say, from this year, like 5 points elected con. And then pretty much the stuff that I posted recently, like where I was catching up on what I did, or what hauls I've had for this year, because I haven't really been able to put it anywhere. So I've got it all in like trays ready to go and stuff so I could move it. But I've got to get a couple new cabinets built downstairs and all that. So, but I've got like, at one point I went through and did like name tags for all the artists that I have, that I had more than like, I think 2 or 3 pieces of. So I did like 100 tags.
Yeah.
At one point, I probably could go through again and do that at least 1 or 2 times over.
Yeah. It's a lot of toys, man.
But it's a lot. And like, I really would love to, like, the people that I know and have made friends with, that, you know, like are really good people and that I know would love to come and like just see some of the stuff. I literally want to have like a museum in my basement where people could come and visit and just hang out, take a look at all the stuff and just have fun. Cause that's really what it is for me, is like, it's really cool to share that stuff. Like, I like to see the reaction on people's faces, like when they look, see like all the crazy shit that's just chilling in the room. And it, like, to me, it's really cool stuff. Like, I know all the stories behind it, but it's really, really cool to see people who don't know anything about it, are not into designer toys and stuff, and they get to see some of that stuff for the first time. Like, dude, shit, I walk through the room and I'm like, wow, I forgot I had this. Like, this is exciting. Like, it's like seeing it for the first time. So just that feeling you get, and I think everybody does, whether it's kids' toys or, you know, adult toys, it's just a really cool feeling to experience. And like, I get to do that all the time because I don't know how to control my spending. So
that's that self-awareness again. I mean, the ones that I've seen, I mean, you have some old Chomp pieces, which is cool, and some pieces that like I didn't even know existed. You have just a lot of old pieces that I didn't know existed that you, so how are you dividing it up because you have the museum or like that type of mindset. So in all these cabinets and all these things, how are you splitting it up to kind of make it a walkthrough area?
Yeah. So I've always wanted to do like, and I've considered doing by color, like a lot of people do that. But I really like to see an artist's body of work if I collect a lot of what they do all in one space. And, you know, and then generally like outside of that, so that's why I've got things set up now. Outside of that, I usually try to go with a theme, like whether it's like Sofubi, all in one place, because I did a lot of resin collecting and then got into a little bit of Sofubi here and there. Or I have this strange obsession for like incredibly cute cats, cat toys. Like, I think it's like Momoko. And God, I can't think of the other one that like Jenny Cherry's stuff, the Daro Meows, like stuff like that, like Lucky Cat type stuff is like incredibly, I don't know what it is, it just very pulls me in and empties my wallet.
Yeah. Did you see 100 Soft made the Kaiju Kitties?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you buy a box of
them? I thought about buying some of those, but no, I didn't. I got a couple of the like the first series minis that they did, the little kitty minis. I do have some reserve, just not a lot. So and there are some things I can say no to, but so I generally try to go into like themes like that, or like one of the really cool sections is like, it's all plastic pizza artists that have made stuff. So I'm able to take like all the stuff that I have from Mr. Mento, who I consider like, you know, part of the family, and other artists that have done work specifically for them, and group that all together, stuff like that. So I don't know. It's kind of like just how I kind of feel about putting stuff together. I try to group it by artists though, mainly because it looks, to me, it looks really cool. And then I've got one special shelf for all of the pieces that artists did at the artist appreciation event that took place a couple years ago at DCon in Anaheim.
Yeah.
That I hosted and Plastic Pizza sponsored. So I've got like one shelf with all that stuff on it because I wanted to keep it all together for that. So
that's cool. At what point did you, I mean, you said during pandemic, some like
Empire Blister. Empire Blisters, specializing in action figure blisters. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now functioning. Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's COYSOMTAP 10.
Empire Blisters.
A year and a half ago, you started making. Pandemic, it really all kicked into gear. So somewhere in between 2020 and let's say 2022, you realize that you not only want all these pieces and want to keep buying them, but you want to start making them.
Yeah.
How did you get to that point?
Yeah. So,
which I guess also includes your logo. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so that's a great story. And that's probably kind of what eventually drove me to that, because I was like really collecting all this stuff. I was like, you know, I really love the design, because that's, to me, that was the important piece. Is like, I've always been really good with ideas as far as like what to do or what to ask other artists to do with their toys that I thought would be really cool. But I never had like an actual good design in mind that I would like to do for a toy. So when I got to that point, I guess it probably was influenced a little bit by, you know, Plastic Pizza and their focus on their character piece, the pizza, and like some of the cool stuff they were doing with that, the look of it and that kind of stuff. And then I remembered just randomly one day, because I hadn't thought about it for quite some time, when I actually had to go into work instead of working remotely, I had this cool lunch bag. My wife and I actually both got one from Toys R Us before they shut down several years ago, and it was a little kawaii looking like cheeseburger. And I was like, God, I had this weird obsession with that lunch bag, because like everybody be like, oh my God, I love your lunch bag, it's so cute. And I was like, isn't it sweet? It looks so ridiculous. So that was my inspiration for actually designing the cheeseburger toy. And then with the connections that I made with Plastic Pizza, I actually reached out to Nick's Panda, who does a lot of their art, and had him take, because again, it was one of those things where like, I didn't want to invest a ton of money. I didn't already have the tools, like a good, laptop or a current laptop or like an iPad or anything like that with the software and stuff on it. So I had him convert everything kind of to just digital versions of sketches that I had made. And he sent me over all of that stuff. I don't know. I have like 1, 2, 3, 4, I don't know, probably like 8 to 10, maybe a dozen different designs that he did for me. Super nice dude. Can't say enough about him. And an amazing artist. So if people don't know who Nick's Panda is and get the chance to look at his stuff, support him, commission him for stuff, he's an amazing artist. But so I took those designs then, and then working again with other people that I met through Plastic Pizza, had Dr. Plops was actually the first one who designed or sculpted the birdie from the Nick's Panda digital art. And then as part of a collab that I did, I can't remember. It was sometime last year. It was called Mark of the Feast. It was a gallery show that Ghost Fox Toys did. It was like their first gallery show they did in their gallery in downtown El Paso. And Tim from Lostlings, who is an incredibly, like, insanely talented artist, sculpted the Fry character as part of that collab. So he sculpted that. And then that was the first iteration of the collab that we did together, which was like a Happy Meal box. I think the box's name was Happy.
Nice.
I'm going to get that wrong. Or something to that effect. These are the details that escape my ADHD brain. But we did that with a special version of Burgie and Fry. It was a sparkly yellow and a sparkly red, like ketchup and mustard colored set that came with the Happy Meal. And like, people were super ecstatic about that. And then that led to what we just did at CollectedCon recently as well, which was three buckets. I think we called them Hail Pals. And those all came with like their own set of Burgie and Fry. So like, I had the Burgie and Fry, they made the buckets. The first collab was they actually made all of them, because I didn't have, the way that my ordering and stuff worked, I didn't have time to like put in a special order for stuff or whatever. So they printed all of that stuff, since I didn't have like a master yet for the Fry character. Yeah, just working with a lot of friends, like people I've made friends with, and just some people who are amazing artists. And so up to this point, really, like, I would say my entire kind of run as a designer toy artist, really, which I think is a strength, actually, and it's a strength for a lot of other artists that do similar things, is working with other artists to kind of see the visions that you have in place come to life. So it's always been a really fun part of it. And that's really what it's all about for me too, because at one point I almost went in the direction of Burgie and Friends instead of like Dead Boys Art Toys. And I do still have like some stuff with that logo on it, but that's really what it's about for me. It's about Burgie and his friends. And I kind of consider myself or my character Burgie, and then my friends are those other artists that, you know, I get to do cool stuff with, because it's just fun for me.
Yeah.
I don't really do it to try to make money. I don't really do it to, and I get that other people do, but for me, it's more of, I'm focusing on like, if I make stuff that I like and other people enjoy it, that's cool. I get to have fun doing it. Otherwise I'm going to have a bunch of burger and fry toys just sitting around me that I get to play with. And that would also be cool. So, either way, it's a win for me, but I love the partnerships and friendships I've made
Over
my time doing stuff.
I mean, Bergie is such a sweet logo, and it's like, I've talked about it before on this podcast, where like there is some kind of mixture where some toys fit so many different demographics, and I think Bergie kind of fits that. It fits the like the cutesy, the fun, the well designed, the well sculpted. Like, it fits everywhere, and so that toy is so fun. And that logo. I mean, how did you know that you wanted to partner with Tim from Lostlings? Because they've been on as well, and they make like beautiful kawaii style toys. And how did you know that that's the route you wanted to go when you first started creating toys or wanted to do that?
Great question. Thank you, by the way. As far as working with the Lostlings, I mean, that was for me like a no-brainer. I think at one point, it was probably like they stream every Thursday on Twitch, and it was probably during one of those streams, I think, where we were kind of tossing around the idea. Like, I asked them about doing a collab or something like that, and they wanted to do something like really different, because at that point I think Bergie had been around for probably, I don't know, the better part of a year. And then you know, Tim offered to sculpt the Fry so we could have an actual new character introduced with, you know, kind of a new, like a new character, new theme for them, which was the putting stuff inside of other things, which was amazing, by the way. I had no idea that's what the end result was going to look like, and they were absolutely amazing. But like, Tim is really good at sculpting. He does it way faster than
yeah,
I feel like I ever could. Like, because they, you know, like they have, I think, at least two new characters every month. And like for their show that's coming up, the Cryptid show that's coming up this weekend at the Ghost Fox Gallery, they have some insane amount of new characters. I can't even remember how many it is, but like just a ton of new cryptid characters. So like those guys are freaking powerhouse duo, like them and Ghost Fox. I put right up there on the list of like just insane artist couples. But and then Lori's just like an amazing painter. So it would, like I said, it was really no brainer for me, like between what they do and I normally would see. And then like as soon as, you know, they offered, I was like, absolutely, like I would not ever second guess making that choice. So and that's just been great moving forward too, because like they're great people. I had the pleasure of hanging out with them quite a bit at Collected Con. They're very chill, down to earth people. And that's my kind of people. Like I don't like the drama. That stuff can just stay away. And I like good, you know, good hearted people who are there to do the same thing, like have fun and, you know, make some money hopefully, and just enjoy art. So.
Nice. That, I mean, that's awesome. I think the toy community and collaborations fit so beautifully together. And I've yet to find, I mean, there's a handful of people that you're like, okay, this is crazy. But usually everyone wants to collab. Everyone wants to work together. Everyone wants to make cool stuff. So that's one thing I love about this community. When you started making and you, I mean, you were outsourcing. That's what you said in the beginning. So, which that's a great way to start, to outsource and not have to have the equipment, to not have to have that, but still be able to produce and get toys made and sold and stuff. That's a great way to do it. What made you flip to stop outsourcing?
Great question. So, I want to give a quick shout out to Eric at Ghost Rabbit. He was the one that was doing the majority of the outsource stuff. And he does like incredible work. He actually does, I'm sure you're probably familiar with Bindlewood, like for Chris and Amanda, like all the characters that they do.
Oh, yeah.
So he's used to doing like large quantities. He actually does that stuff. And then he does actually like some contract work for bigger companies as well. So he's used to doing like quantities and larger things. And with my stuff, I just don't like I like to keep mine very limited. I don't have the audience base yet to do like 30, 40, 50, 60, you know.
I mean, that's a lot.
One item. So yeah, because it's a lot to commit to. And then like, while it would be cool to be swimming in Bergies to play with, I don't need that many. Like I would have hundreds of extras sitting around. So so that really is what, so it was a combination of that and I think needing something, it was demand essentially, needing some additional pieces for a potential Halloween collab, which I don't think I probably can say too much about, but is probably pretty obvious to some people who know me. But there's a potential Halloween collab coming, and so I'm gonna need like, and I've already started making them. I'm gonna need, you know, a heftier quantity of some special burgers and fries, but again, not like an insane amount. It's probably gonna be like, you know, 10 of a few different kinds of stuff. Yeah. So
10's such a solid number.
Yeah.
I like think
8-10 I always find is like a good number for me.
Yeah. And it makes it limited, makes a limited edition that people want. And it makes like, it just makes it more special. 10 is such a good number. I think that there's a bunch of new toy creators that are like, I got to get like 25 out there. Maybe, but if you can't sell 25, then you're going to be swimming in your own stock.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's, I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing if you're one of those people that does like a ton of shows.
Right.
Which is cool, because like I experienced that this year, like where I went to 5 Points and then I took a lot of the same inventory that was like kind of regular inventory for me to Collected Con, because I did like my last order that I did with Ghost Rabbit, I was just like, I'm just going to do a bunch of stuff all at once, because I don't want to have to be like 2 months in between those two cons was not enough time to, you know, think of what I wanted, place the order, get in on time, do some customs if I wanted to, you know, clear coat stuff if I needed to, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I just did everything up front, and it was nice because you get different people at the conventions. Like you'll have, you know, some of the same people or whatever, but there were enough different people between those two conventions that, you know, most of what I had there was brand new for a lot of people. And then, I mean, even like they did a pop shop right there as well. At the booth, and there were people there who had never seen any of the stuff that I was selling, so it was a really cool experience. But yeah, normally like for online drops and stuff, I wouldn't want like huge quantities of stuff, though, just because like you said, the 8-10 makes it feel like more special, and doesn't really kind of devalue the coolness of the product, because that, I mean, that's sadly to a degree a reality of collecting, is like the FOMO and the like uniqueness of a piece really add to its appeal. So
yeah, all the pieces behind me, because
I've been there many times.
Yeah. Like the pieces behind me, so many of them were bought because it's like I can't find them, or I want just like not a lot exist. And so
we interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this.
Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet. Oh my, we're doomed.
Wait, salvation. Hooray, we're saved, DOV2. Limited edition custom artist made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures.
DKE.
Which make them, I mean, more special for me, which is awesome. But also there's a part of my brain, the broken part, that's like in a couple years when I eventually want to get rid of that, it's cool because there's only a few out there.
That's no joke though, man. Like a huge part of how I funded a large portion of my collection, along with like vacations to Disney World and stuff, was by selling off my Funko Pops. That's how I got into originally like Designer Toys, was when the pandemic hit, they had their supply chain issues, and I was like, dude, I want to buy something. I've got this problem where I have to buy things constantly. So I got into designer toys and like Pop Shop Live and stuff. I discovered all that, and that was a way to kind of fill that void. And eventually I was okay with letting that stuff go, and it was worth quite a bit more than what I paid for it. Some of them. So that's a reality. Like, I wouldn't do it for a long-term investment, but you definitely can, you know, if you know what you're doing and want to do it for a hobby or for fun, or even if you're trying to do it short term, like, you can definitely do that kind of stuff. So not that I condone flipping.
Yeah.
But if you buy a lot of stuff like I do, and then you're like, you know, 3, 4, 5 years later, you're like, I want to move on to something new, it's really easy to go through and cull a collection pretty well. So.
Right. I think the cool part too, of being in a community like this, the toy scene, which is worldwide, and is the toys behind me, instead of being flipped, more or less what's going to happen is, if anything happens or I need to move on or I need to go somewhere, I'm just going to reach out to the community and say, like, you guys love these, who's going to buy these from me? So they go to like other good homes, not that I just want to flip them. I feel like I talk about them as if they're rescue dogs, and it's crazy. So you talked about a collab that's happening for Halloween, and my hope is that it's Bergy with some kind of sheet over him, or Bergy as a skeleton, like burger. Like, I'm hoping that one of those is happening. Don't reveal it, but just know that I'm hoping that that's the case.
I've made a couple of them that are sitting next to me, if you'd like to see.
Yeah, we won't show the video. You just can't talk about it if that's the.
No, that's. I mean, I don't have a problem even talking about. I'll let you describe maybe this. You can't really tell very well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a nice sparkly purple.
Yeah.
And you could probably see better on the birdies because they'll show up a little bit better, but there's a nice little surprise inside.
Oh, what is the surprise? I can't. The camera is. Is that a little skeleton?
The little spider. And you can spider. See it either when you hold it up to the light or if you shine a black light on it. So it's going to be like surprise spider Bergy, right? So I've got all that about one. It. And then I did some cool like pirate bone versions of some stuff, which of course I do because I'm what we would refer to in the toy collecting industry as a gloho. A gloho, H-O-U-X. That's a ghost a coined term, gloho. But here's a pirate bone fry. And you can see these are all like Halloween colors. So they're Halloween
They're great. But,
those, and I just got done clear coating these guys. I had to sand them today too, and that sucked. Sanding absolutely sucks as much as people say that it does. And then this Bergy that's got like kind of like an X marks the spot.
Yeah, looks great.
So that's what I'm starting with now. I do have some other stuff coming. I've thought about the sheet thing, and I want to do that at some point. So I'm sorry to break your heart. That's not coming this year.
It's all right. I have high hopes for everyone.
But yeah, definitely want to do that. And, you know, like now that I can cast my own stuff, I want to start getting into double casting too. So I'm hoping to do something cool. Like
look to Barbarian Rage.
Or whatever. Oh, dude, his stuff is gorgeous.
Yeah, Barbarian Rage, or I think his name is Dingy Dave.
Dingy Dave does some really nice stuff too.
I think he has the astronauts that are double cast, triple. Like they both Scott Cherry and Dingy Dave, seamless double and triple casting that is just unseen with bones and all kinds of stuff. So if that's the place to look. Holy moly. When you're designing and like getting ready to print these, like the fries and the burgers and stuff, tell me about the size and how you kind of settled on these sizes of these figures, or if you have hopes to like get large scale ones, like where are we at with that?
Yeah, probably wouldn't go like super big because obviously the larger you go, the more expensive it gets.
And yeah.
Like unless you have a huge fan base or really hardcore fan base, like those are not as easy of a sell. Unless it's like vinyl or something. But then you get like some people don't like vinyl. Some people don't like resin. It's just this weird split sometimes. But the small ones were an obvious one for me to start with because I can keep the price point low on those. And that way they're easier to produce. They cost less to produce, obviously. So I can make make them easier and sell them for less really was kind of where that, and plus I like the smaller scale toys in respect to some of the designer toys that I collect, like Lostlings are a perfect example. Like I love the size of their figures. Like some of those are really nice stuff that you can kind of like fit into the palm of your hand. So, and I'm sure there were some weird things in the back of my brain that I don't know that were influencing wanting to go with particular like size or whatnot. But then obviously I wanted one that was like a little bit bigger and chunkier, something that was like easier to like double cast with.
Yeah.
You know, something at not a super crazy price point, but something that would be still competitive. And that's one of the things I've tried to do with my stuff is keep it more competitively priced as far as what I can control. Collabs are a little bit different because you want to make sure that everyone gets paid for the work that they put in. So those kinds of pieces are a little bit different. And I'm willing to, like on my end, I'm willing to sacrifice some of my profit for a wider fan base because I want to just, like I said, I'm just trying to have fun with it. And I want as many people as possible to be able to get exposed to it if they can. So, but yeah, that's pretty much it for me as far as the sizes. Cause I've done like, let me see if I've got it. I did just the 5 points. And got it by a bunch of artists, but yeah, this thing's like as big as my head. My head's huge, by the way. It's like seriously large.
Looks like a great piece. Yeah.
But yeah, this one was really fun, but this was PLA printed by one of my friends. Mm-hmm. And then I like sanded it down and poorly sanded it, I should say, but it's for me, so no one's ever gonna notice.
Yeah.
And then primed it and so that everyone could tag it, but you know, I would consider if there was any kind of demand to do like PLA type stuff for that, but I probably wouldn't do like jumbo size stuff unless my fan base got much bigger. Or if there was like somebody that wanted it as a custom and was willing to, you know, like boot the cost or a couple people, kind of like a Kickstarter type thing. And then, you know, I would do it then. But yeah, just, not as realistic for most people. Shipping is a pain in the butt, that kind of thing. So yeah, all that kind of stuff goes into it.
Yeah, man. That's great. Like so much goes into making toys. And I don't think that, I mean, the toy community knows, but when people come into this and they are like, why can't you just do this? Or why can't you do, it's like a lot goes into that. Like a lot goes into sculpting and goes into the fact that like it costs money to make molds. It costs money to work with factories. It costs like so much stuff. With all of that and everything that you've shared with us, where is Dead Boy headed?
You know, it's weird because this year I was trying to do, like all three of the big cons, 5 points, Collector Con and Decon as far as vending. Not going to do Decon from a vending perspective. I'll probably have some stuff with, at least with Plastic Pizza. But we're going to kind of take a break and do more, do that as more of a vacation. I also like to collect, but I've never been to Vegas before either. So, right. So, you know, it's hard as a collector to like be in there vending and not be able to walk away from your table. But as far as like what I want to do, so I think probably in the future, I'm going to see where like my own casting takes me. I definitely want to continue to work with the Plastic Pizza. I love doing gallery pieces for like some of their shows for Ghost Fox. Like I love working with galleries to do special pieces. That's always fun. And now that I can cast my own stuff, like doing small gallery runs of something will be really cool. Theme shows are always just a blast. I love doing those. Ghost Fox has one coming up for Halloween, so I've done a couple pieces for that. I'm gonna show you those real quick too.
Yeah, you are,
because you're the only one you're the only one that can see.
Yeah.
So this will be for the prompt that I chose was Haunted Leftovers. So
it looks great.
Leftovers glows in the dark too, two different colors, so that was really fun to do. I like this kind of stuff. I just love playing around with this and seeing how it turns out, and if I mess it up, like who cares, you know, like it'll come out cool. And then I have an odd obsession with Monster cereal, and they had a kind of on a whim, I just did this and I was like, hey, can I send this to? But I did a prompt for, or a piece for the prompt. God, was it Rainbow on me, which was like right up my alley with Monster Cereal. So I took this piece, which is by Vinyls Chile, I believe is, or Vinyls Chile, excuse me. Designed the skull, and then I just did like a yummy mummy looking.
Yeah, it looks incredible.
Wrap. It was so fun just to fart around with it, and I was like, oh, no, this kind of looks like crap. And then I did the purple paint lines on it, and I was like, dude, this is freaking amazing. That looks so much better. But just doing stuff like that is fun. Like I like to do, you know, unique pieces. So I see myself doing more of that. And then I want to at least do collected kind. I don't know if I'll do other shows. Collected Con was amazing. I love like the people that ran it are just an absolute blast to work with. They're kind of the same people I was talking about earlier, like where they're really chill, like genuinely cool people. And they're all really invested in what they're doing because they love what they do. And it was just a really cool show. There were some great artists there. It was a very cool venue, very chill. And it's like 2 hours away from where we live. So it was really easy to get there and transport everything. New York is awesome too. Don't get me wrong, but that was like a 12-hour drive and we did it in one day both ways.
So that was uninterested.
Not as chill.
Yeah. Uninterested.
Not interested in that going forward, I think. And then of course, like flying to Vegas is, you know, that one's more affordable now too, that it's not in Anaheim, but I just don't see myself wanting to drag a whole bunch of stuff with me. So I'll probably do one of those things again. Like I may have some pieces at, you know, other people's booths or do some collabs with people, that type of thing, but really focusing on probably just doing one show a year. Cause like more than one, not being a full-time artist is a lot of extra. I mean, it's a lot of work as a full-time artist, I would imagine, but just having like a family, a young kid and stuff, it's just not something I can prioritize above my family. So probably do like one show a year and then just start doing online drops. And I might get into more like, now that I have a little bit more control over what I can actually make, probably getting more feedback from people that want like a run of something or just some customs, that type of thing. So just kind of kicking the ball around at this point, seeing where the fun takes me.
That's awesome. Dude, thank you so much for coming on Toys on Tap and talking about all things Dead Boy.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah.
It's been great being part of this community. There's so many great artists out there that I just absolutely love. I couldn't mention them all.